this is an international treaty. Countries, states, parties sign the treaty, and one of the things they commit to is to look after and protect and conserve World Heritage Sites on their own territory. How do you think, I guess this is the post-inscription question, how do you think states' parties do in that regard?
Some do well, some do much less well. I think overall I'm disappointed in the number of countries that lose interest, at least as soon as they have sites on the convention. The state party should immediately, after inscription, ask itself what it's going to do to enhance the conditions for survival, for protection within those sites. I mean, those conditions should be adequate, because that's one of the questions that's asked. Is this site well managed? Is this site already protected? And if the site is not protected or well managed, it shouldn't be on the list in the first place. So there should be a standard already in place. But I think they should ask, what more can we do? And the kind of answers to that question that mean something are, and you can see this in some countries. Some countries invent, they say, there's nothing in our legislation that even mentions World Heritage. So maybe we have to re-rig our national legislation to have a chapter that says World Heritage is here, and what support do we offer for World Heritage? Some governments also set up, from a management perspective, a World Heritage Working Group, inside the service involved with cultural heritage, to give a focus, to the 3 or 4 or 10 sites that they may have on the World Heritage List, to put those people together in a network as well, but to also to give some clout to decision making, because if it's 10 sites and they're working together inside the management framework of the country, then they have some priority when it comes to choices about where the money goes and choices about how development takes place. So I think there's a whole range of measures that countries could pick up if they wished immediately afterwards.
What would you cite as best practice in terms of that kind of structuring or putting in place the down the road, post-inscription measures?
Well, one of the things, and is, this is, I've seen this done in a few places, and it's worked quite well. One of the things, we were often asking governments as they prepare their nominations, or before, or sometimes even after, to put in place what we call a management plan. We use different words for this and refer to it in different ways, and it's misunderstood sometimes and understood in other ways, different ways by those involved. But we're basically asking for a formalized plan, a management plan, which would give priority to heritage in relation to other legitimate objectives of development, for a place. It's very easy to do a plan. No, it's not very easy, but it's an exercise which professionals can figure out how to do. They can produce a document. They can involve those who are responsible for management in the document, so the document has legitimacy. But if it stays there inside the site without being attached to something larger, it may fail when there are real competing priorities. As soon as there's a management plan, it should be brought to the attention of cabinet as an overarching instrument. And quite a number of governments have done that. The integrated management plan in Kathmandu Valley, for the Kathmandu Valley, one of the reasons I like it is because it was brought to cabinet. Somebody had the wisdom to think, let's these guys figure it out, because in cabinet is the minister of every one of these, ventures. And so whether or not they like it, whether or not they buy into it immediately, if it becomes a cabinet document, then they're all bound to it. So it's, again, a way of raising the profile, raising the commitment to World Heritage in a simple way.